Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The troubled times that we are living in today takes a toll on our body, mind, and emotions. Our ability to keep our thoughts straight and in line with biblical truth is a battle. And if our hearts are not at rest, we will fight in our own strength. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." So today we invite you to join in the conversation as we uncover the hidden decoys of deception. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Sharon, those are more than timely words for the days that we're living in now. And yet, you know, those words were also just as relevant back in when was being put together. And in 2 Corinthians 4, I'd just like to read that and show you the battle that can rage when people are doing the right thing with the right intent and the right procedure and what they come up against.
Okay.
We start in with verse 8 as the conditions that Paul was having to deal with, and he says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body." Sharon, I think every person looking at that scripture could put their own circumstances into having to battle right now, being hard-pressed, being perplexed, being persecuted. Mm-hmm. Maybe mind, will, emotions, body.
Right.
But not forsaken. And that can be the normal Christian walk in perilous times that we are called to live in.
But you know, Janie, when you read through that, it seems like that when we are hard-pressed, we are feeling crushed, and we are going into despair. And we do start feeling forsaken. And then we just feel like we're destroyed. And so there is a deception that keeps us from living in the victory that Paul is talking about right here.
And you said a word, and I don't know if you realized you said it with each one of those. You said, correctly so, "I feel."
Feel.
And is that not the subtlety that we succumb to? I'm not saying feelings are wrong.
Right.
That's a natural response. But you and I have taught from the time we've been on air that the feelings cannot dominate us. Mm-hmm. If they do, they will bring us into a point of doubting the very foundation that we put our life into, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross, the resurrection, mm-hmm. and the victory of him overcoming the evil one. And it's sometimes hard to stay on solid ground. You know what, Sharon? I don't know about you, but solid ground can feel good, but it can get really pressured on the bottom of your feet to where you want to get those feet off of that firm foundation and get it onto something that's got 2 inches of foam in it. All right?
Right. But Janie, then that makes me think, well, why does that firm foundation have to be so uncomfortable? I mean, Don't we want to be blessed by God? So why do we have to be so uncomfortable on that firm foundation?
Sharon, that's a good question. And your comments about wanting to be blessed by the Lord and enjoy all of the benefits that He's given us is absolutely on target. The one thing that we have to remember is there is someone that doesn't want us to keep a firm foundation, that doesn't want us to enjoy the benefits, and that's called the enemy.
Okay.
And he is very much alert to what we are needing and wanting, and he is determined to rob us of that firm foundation that we can have as we enjoy the benefits.
Okay.
He's going to tell us you can't have both.
Okay, so sort of like what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, I can't think of a better example than going back to the garden where we had the perfect enjoyment of all the benefits. We had the perfect environment. We had every comfort, every pleasure that mm-hmm. you could have according to the mind of God.
Okay. Right.
And so the enemy had to disrupt the mind of God and get Adam and Eve's thinking back onto the enemy's thinking.
Which his first tactic was doubt, right?
Yes. Has God said?
Yeah.
And then he takes God's own words to use to deceive and create doubt. Now, if you don't think that's not a smooth tactic...
Yeah.
And Sharon, how often is that being repeated in our pulpits every Sunday now?
Exactly. And not just in the pulpits, Janie, but on social media, on texting and the telephone, when we're talking to each other. I mean, we are doing the same thing. We are taking what God says and putting our own feelings and emotions with that and twisting it for our own comfort.
You said a nice word there that I want to camp out on, and twisting the truth. So let's see, let's just go back to the Garden of Eden and see how it might have sounded if we were there and listening.
Okay.
So the enemy would say something like, oh, Eve, you know, the Word of God is really nice, and perhaps it can help you, but is it really absolute on everything?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a tactic to destroy the absolute foundation.
Right. And that same tactic is being played out right now on steroids, Janie. Is the Bible absolute? You know, it was interpreted by men. It was written by men. And that's what's being said today. So the absolute truth is being questioned.
It's being attacked, and let's go back and just look at just a fact of statistics. In spite of man's intentions, be they honorable or innocent or malicious, the Word of God has withstood every onslaught that could be thrown to it ever since it has been made known to man. Now, that's a pretty strong historical fact. And the Lord has been able to preserve the truth that He wants in His Word spoken in spite of man's human errors. We still know the way of salvation. We mm-hmm. still know the work of the cross. We have historical evidence by people who were not even claiming to be believers that attest to His resurrection and the mighty working of His miracles. Historical facts. So in spite of the attacks, the Word of God that was spoken in the Garden of Eden still prevails today. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to lose our comfort in having to discipline ourselves, because after they chose to listen to the enemy, sin entered, and now a battle began.
Well, and his attack is really just to make us doubt and reject the truth of the scriptures and become deafened to the voice of Jesus Christ.
Now, let's talk about a few ways, Sharon, that just in practical busyness of the daily world that we can get sidetracked and allow doubt to enter. Good things like sports, healthy amusements, good games. And then for the younger generation, maybe the older generation too, Sharon, how about web browsing and spending time with social media?
Mm.
And even eating can take place over your quiet time in Scripture. Have you ever thought that many times we're more interested in getting physical food before we are spiritual food?
Yeah. I have an analogy of that. I think we've talked about this before, but
maybe it needs repeating.
What if we could see each other based on our spiritual health rather than our physical health? I mean, me in my healthy state physically might look like I am starved.
Spiritually?
Spiritually, if I was all skin and bones.
Ah, good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So spiritually, if I were skin and bones, you could see that physically.
I think that's an excellent point. And some time ago when I realized I was looking forward to my breakfast more than I was my morning quiet time, I told the Lord I'd make a commitment to Him. Lord, I want to open my heart in quiet before I open my mouth. The spiritual food before the physical.
Well, that's good, Janie, because Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
So, Sherry, do we have the same intensity for spiritual hunger that we do for physical?
It doesn't seem so.
I think we have to examine our hearts on that question, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another way that the enemy wants to get at us, and he wants to question God's goodness.
I think that's a really good one, because when we're in doubt, that is where we go. We question God's goodness.
And how would the enemy voice that to Eve? Well, Eve, is God really trying to hold out on you? Is He robbing you of some good times that you're entitled to? You know, Eve, He's lived forever. Truth. But is He out of touch with your current needs? You know, He's quite old, Eve. And maybe we need to rethink as we move forward in what I can offer you.
Well, you know, you think about the things that are said today, that God's way is old-fashioned and outdated. And we've evolved from there, Janie. We're more intelligent than we used to be.
And you're right when you're speaking about today's testings, because in the Garden of Eden, bad things had not happened to Eve or Adam.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But today we have decades, millennial of history,
mm-hmm,
saying if God's such a great God, such a good God, in control of everything, why do we have a history of wars, of killings, mm-hmm, mass slayings,
right,
unjustified evil actions that come to us from sources that surprise us? And today they have become extreme,
mm-hmm,
in the exposure of what we're being subjected to.
That is so true. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour."
Sharon, that scripture is like a hammer hitting the head of a nail. It is exactly what we need to hear. But before we can really be sober and vigilant, we need to cast our cares upon Him that have created the doubts and the unknowns.
Mm.
And then He tells us, and this is our responsibility, even though we know that the enemy is a defeated foe, in regards of His final destination, we know He's still the God of this world where we are journeying.
Right.
And our command is to resist Him steadfast in the faith.
Right.
And to do that, we need to know that we're living in perilous times, And we can even go to 2 Timothy chapters 2, 3, and 4 for a strong foundational outline of how we can be overcomers in the tactics that the enemy is using.
Okay.
And in 2 Timothy 2, there is a exhortation to us, Sharon, in verse 2, that we are to learn from Paul in the commission that God had given him to make known the Lord's game plan for the church age. And the first thing he says, you need to learn things that you have heard from me so that you can teach other people. And then he goes on to say that if you don't really understand this, because I'm calling you to be a soldier, that in verse 7 he says, but please just consider what I'm saying, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And if the Lord is really going to give us understanding in all things, then we're going to be able to detect the lies of the enemy so doubt does not give us a foothold.
Oh, that's really good.
And then he goes on, and I'm just skipping over a lot of meat that we need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
But in chapter 3 and then verse 14, he once again says, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And Sharon, one of the greatest abuses of that sentence is we don't check out the sources from which we are learning that may be using scripture to deceive, just like Satan did in the garden. He took something good, God's own words, he twisted them, and they did not check out the source that was talking to them. He showed himself as an angel of light. He didn't come wiggling to them as a snake standing on its tail.
Right.
And they were deceived by the very presence and the word that they heard. They looked at what was seen rather than listening to what had been given to them when they had communion in the presence of God.
So Ephesians 4:27, we are giving place to the devil, which is exactly what we're told not to there.
And we do that in innocence because we are not daily renewing ourselves in conversation with the author of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And some of that has to do with the fact that we don't trust the authority of the scripture.
You know, that's a very good observation, because the enemy comes back to Eve, and while we're listening to this conversation, remember that Satan is not talking to Adam. Adam's listening. He's there, and he's not standing up to say, Eve, we've got a problem here in your thinking. But I would say Adam was probably rather passive here, and maybe to the point of rebellion, because he was listening to the conversation. And he chose to go with Eve and her line of thinking rather than standing on what he knew to be true, as they both had communicated with God every day. Now, because the authority that Adam refused to take is why we're having this conversation today.
Okay. And again, that goes back to the authority of God's word. And we have in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Sharon, let me give you those words that Satan used to question God's authority. He says to Eve, you know, if you partake of this fruit, you'll not surely die. So Satan is saying in Genesis 3, 4, I have an alternate plan which is better than the one that you have right now because it limits your freedom.
Okay.
Right. I say you can eat of any fruit, but your God says, no, you can't eat of this one fruit.
Right.
He's really putting limits on your free will, Eve. And she couldn't see ahead of time that deception would not only rob her of her freedom that she had, but it would put her under guilt that would control the rest of her days as long as she lived.
And put her in bondage.
And have to have her leave her home, paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And she left the very comfort that she was seeking. And yet God says,
she already had.
Which she already had.
And she didn't know she had. And don't know what she had till it was gone, right?
And Sharon, are we not the same way? God says, I have corrected everything that went wrong in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
I have made a plan of escape from the bondage that man has lived under for the last millennial.
Right.
And they still think they have a better game plan.
Yeah.
And you know what? Our solution is found in the cross and the glories of the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the eternal plan that has already been provided for us. And yet we refuse to look at anything, Sharon, that's unseen.
Yeah.
If we can't hold it in our hands, taste it, feel it with our senses, we say, this is too difficult.
Yeah.
And that's what the children in the book of Hebrews said. Oh, we can't understand these things. And the reason they couldn't understand them is because they would not be tested and learned through their senses.
Right.
Which the Holy Spirit uses as a guide for us.
They had become hard-hearted in their own thinking, in their own understanding, in their own wants and desires, which is where we get guilty of today, too.
And something else with Satan's attempts to deceive and doubt, he says, you've got to have that coziness that I want to give you to make you feel better, but it'll be based on doubt and lies that you won't recognize.
On feelings.
Okay. As your final authority.
Right.
Now, Sharon, we have a tough time sometimes with how we handle feelings here.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to let everyone know that feelings are a beautiful gift from the Lord. We could be like drones if we did not have any feelings that the Lord gave us as a gift. It's taking a good gift and misusing it in the way he has given you that becomes the danger.
And that is a decoy of the enemy.
And that decoy will cause our heart to lapse into unbelief because we will get perplexed and overwhelmed and in despair, and that will pull us off of our focus of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our all in all, and ready to supply us with everything that we need.
And then we end up right where the enemy wants us, in rejecting what the Lord has for us.
And Sharon, being too busy robs us of that sharpness that we need in our minds, our soul, and our spirit to be able to discern. But the absolute standard, Sharon, the absolute unchangeable standard, because God spoke it and he says, I change not, is be still and know that I am God. And one of our favorite verses here in this studio is that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, so that I might be able to be conformed into his likeness. To be able to stand on the foundation of the absolute standards that we must have if we're not going to be deceived by the decoys of deception from the devil.
Amen. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jamie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. And God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.